I take the promised Holy Ghost, the blessed power of Pentecost, to fill me to the uttermost. I take. Thank God. Thank God. He undertakes for me. And the people of God said, Amen. You may be seated. We have been discussing in these gospel services the awfulness of suicide, and we have been dealing with Judas Iscariot's in the scripture. First of all, we had a message on Judas Iscariot and his suicide. And then we had a look at the line of all the Judas Iscariots who committed suicide as recorded in the Word of God. Tonight we're going to finish this series of messages by looking at the Iscariots in the Bible who didn't commit suicide, but had committed very great evil sins. There are those in the Bible who did deserve instant death, but God was gracious and spared them, and in some cases brought them into the knowledge of salvation through faith alone in the Savior of men. First of all, I want to draw your attention to the two daughters of Lot. Lot was the nephew of Abraham. And these two daughters were the only members of Lot's family that were not married, and they had no family of their own, so they lived under their father's roof. The acts of Lot are a very sad recording of a man who knew God, a man who had a heart that at times felt the power of God, but a man who had not surrendered himself entirely to the God of heaven. There is a tremendous contrast between Lot and his uncle Abraham. Abraham was a man of God. Abraham was a man who put God first. Abraham was a man who would not be turned aside by the temptations of the world. But alas, Lot was different. And when we turn over the pages of the book of Genesis, we can only be sad at heart. And we can only cry out and say, God, save me forever being a Lot. You see, these two women lived with Lot. One night, late on, two visitors came to the city of Sodom, where Lot was living. And Lot said, I want you to come into my home, and we will eat and drink, and I'll give you bedding for the night. But the two strangers who were angels sent from God to heaven to tell Lot of what was going to happen to that evil city of Sodom. And those two angels, after telling Lot why they had come, Lot pressed on them to come in off the street because he knew the type of character that was ruling in Sodom at that present time. And so he persuaded these two angels to come into his home. But not very long after they were in and sitting down to have something to eat and something to drink, a riot started outside the home. And large demands were made of Lot to bring these two men out, that the evil, wicked, and satanic members and citizens of Sodom could abuse them. Of course, Lot would not agree. And he went out to argue with the subjects of that evil, wicked city. And he came off the worst. And so they had to drag him from the street, the two angels, and jam the door and shut it from all intruders. The riot continued. But the angels blinded those that were trying to attack and abuse them. And so they did not succeed. But something happened at that doorway. It was a revelation of the filth that had gathered in the heart of Lot. For he said to the Sodomites, he said, I have two daughters. They are virgins. I will let you have them, and you can abuse them as much as you like. What an offer to be made by a Christian man of his own offspring. Sin is a wicked thing, and sin knows no ends to meet its final desires. But the angels stopped it. The two girls were safe in their father's house, and there was deliverance. But that's not the end of the story. God told Lot to leave the city. His wife didn't want to leave. She was very reticent. And it was only after force and been dragged out by the angels that she came. But she lingered. And she turned round to look again at the city that she loved, and she was turned into a pillar of salt. She never took any other steps away from the city where the fiery brimstone was set to destroy. As we go on in the book of Genesis, we find that Lot, having escaped, went to the mountains, lived in a cave with his daughters, and his daughters carried with them the stamp of Sodom's evil. And they suggested one to another that they make their father drunk, and that their father would become the father of their children. And so they carried out that vile and devilish purpose of mind and heart and soul. What a day that was when the nephew of God's friend Abraham had sunk so low, so terribly low, in modesty, in purity, and in godliness. Down into that pit of unbelief Lot went, and his children. As a result, two sons were born, and those two sons became the two sons that led the two nationalities that were so hard in persecuting the true Abraham people all the days of the life of that people. Of course, those who took part in such a sea of evil deserved immediate judgment. But God is a God of grace, a God of mighty grace. And we are told later on that Lot was a really, truly born again man. With all the evil that he engaged in, either knowingly or unknowingly, he was still in the kingdom of God. And he's called in the scripture a righteous man. I don't know the wonder of it all, but I know that God can save from the gutterness to the uttermost. All that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. But let us turn over in the book of Genesis a little farther, and we'll come to a place called Shechem. It was one of the cities that Jacob came to when he was proceeding back to Bethel, where God first met with him. When he got to Bethel, his daughter Dinah went to see the city, for Shechem at that time was a wonderful city. She met the prince of Shechem there, and a relationship was entered into without the consent of Jacob or the consent of God. And it was a sad and sinful relationship. Her brothers were exceedingly angry, but it was not the prince of Shechem's blame, because the blame really rested with their own sister, Dinah. So terrible was the fire that lit up the resistance in the hearts of Simeon and Levi, two of the brothers of Dinah, that they went to the city, and they slew all the people in the city that were males, robbed the city completely, and raped it completely, and then took Dinah from the prince's house to accompany them further on their pilgrimage. I can hear the cries of the citizens of that city. I can hear storm of fire that set building after building alight. I can hear the cries of victory from the mouths of Simeon and Levi. And I can hear the sobs of Jacob, their father, who cried bitterly at what his sons had carried out. Because sin does never act alone. It always moves out around the circuit in which it moves. I'm talking about people who deserved instant judgment. But God, in His grace, withheld His hand of wrath, and Simeon and Levi became the head of two important tribes in all the tribes of Israel. How wonderful is the tender grace and loving kindness of the Lord. We often sing the hymn, Jesus Christ came to save the lost ones, for whom His blood did flow. How great is the power of the precious blood of Christ. And how tremendous is its strength to seek and to save that which is lost. There is no power like the power of the gospel. There is no grace like the sovereign grace of God. And there is no love like the love of God that passeth all understanding. The gospel is for poor, lost, ill-deserving, undeserving, and hell-deserving sinners. But thank God, it's grace that saves, grace that cleanses, and grace that brings abundant peace to the troubled heart. But as we turn the pages of the book of Genesis, we come across another man, a very important man, because he was to head up eventually the leadership of the Israelite people. His name was Judah. And Judah had family trouble. He lost his wife, and then he lost his purity. And you can read the story for yourself. The steps of the ladder he went down, and the pit into which he was plunged. Poor Judah. But as we go on reading the Bible, we see that Judah was a mighty tribe, that Christ is called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And although Judah ought to have been another Iscariot, like Judas, whose name he bore. Instead of that, he became one of the greatest of men in the 12 sons of Jacob. Grace is a wonderful word. It's the undeserved free merit of God. No man walking tonight in the New Jerusalem deserves to be there. No matter what family he came from, or who he was, or what was what was his testimony. Lost souls, tied, chained, and sentenced. And yet it's to those lost souls that the gospel is preached. Jesus seeks and he saveth that which is lost. It's only lost souls that Jesus saves. If you think you're not lost, if you think you're good enough the way you are, if you think that all is well, then there's no salvation for you. But if you look into your heart and hang your head in shame and confess the deep need of your inward soul, the need for cleansing, the need for purity, the need for grace, the need for forgiveness, the need for righteousness, then there's hope for you. You don't need to be a Judas Iscariot. You can be like Peter. You can be called from the very verge of sin to the very center of salvation. Finally, I want to talk to you about these two women that we had in our reading from the scriptures. And in that great third chapter of 1 Kings, we have the story of the wise king, Solomon. And he's faced with a difficulty at the judgment throne. One woman pleads and says, "The living child is my child." The other woman, who was responsible for the death of her own child and changed the children in the bed and pleaded that the living child was hers, they broke into argument at the king's throne. What would Solomon do to prove totally whose child that living child was? I have read this story to you from the Bible. How clear it is. The woman's child it was a woman that had the heart pang. And the love, and the tears, and the compassion, because she was the true mother. The other self-proclaimed woman didn't care for the life of the child. She didn't care about its right to live. She would be happy that the king's sword would cut the body in two and give each woman a part of it. And of course, Solomon pointed out that the true mother wanted no death to the child. Her heart sobbed within her, and the whole cry of her being was for the safety of our child. So the matter was settled. The king was right, eternally right. And the woman was eternally wrong, trying to say that the real mother was responsible for the death of her own child. These examples of scripture, I am told, by the Holy Spirit who wrote the Bible. They're written for our learning. Have you learned the lesson that these holy scriptures mean for us to learn? There is not any person that ever walked this earth ever deserved God's forgiveness or deserved God's salvation. We are all guilty, hell-deserving souls. We don't deserve heaven. We deserve hell. We don't deserve light. We deserve darkness. We don't deserve to be part of God's family, but rather we should be part of the devil's family forever. But then Jesus comes, and Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Mr. Spurgeon used to say repeatedly, always remember it's lost sinners Jesus came to save. The only qualification that you need, what is it? You need to confess you're a lost, ill-deserving, hell-deserving sinner. But Jesus died for such sinners on the cross. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Hallelujah. And thank God he can save you. I care not what sin you have committed. I care not what evil path you have walked. I care not what your heart is like. As the fire and light of God shines upon it. But oh, there's mercy with the Lord. God has sent his Son who saves to the very uttermost all that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for us. I trust tonight, dear sinner friend, that you will cast your soul on Christ, that you will call on the name of the Lord, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call now. Call loudly. Call with faith and hope. The solid book of God is here. Every promise in the book is honored by God. And you can take God at his word. Ask no questions. Trust him. Only trust him. He will save you now. May God grant that you will put your faith, my sinner friend, in Christ for now and for all eternity. Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy word. Thy word is truth. Hide it in the hearts of those that have heard. And may there be a coming now to thee. And may sinners be washed in the precious blood of the Lamb for Jesus' sake. And everybody said, Amen.